in the spirit of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, I have sought to take some of our songs, as you've probably noticed, and I like to just use them kind of as a sermon outline and show their beauty, that we might be able to sing them with the Spirit because we understand what we are singing. In that passage, Paul wrote, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding. It is good to know what we are singing to make sure that even as preachers should practice what they preach, so all Christians should practice what they sing. Now, I'm going to say amen. You can say amen to the first one, and I'll say amen to the second one. Psalm 47, verse 7, shows that God has always wanted us to understand what we are doing, including our singing. And Psalm 47, 7 says, sing praises with understanding. Therefore, I would encourage you to read the words of songs carefully. If you can ever do it, you know, outside of the assembly, when you can really sit down, you know, take home a book or something and look it over. And think about what you're singing. Testing yourself to see if you mean what you sing and that you do what you sing. Colossians chapter 3 teaches the understanding that ought to pervade our singing. We want to sing songs well, and I know that's important. But sometimes we can get so caught up in making sure that it sounds good that we may miss whether my heart is good with the words. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word, which would be singing or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Is the song teaching the word of Christ? And as you're teaching others in the song, are you teaching yourself? And in fact, are you listening to what others are teaching you in the song when they sing in all wisdom and teach and admonish? Can I live out the song in the name of Christ? The song I want to look at today is Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen. And I asked Brother Mason Marshall to lead that song, but he said he doesn't know it. So, man, I thought to myself, after he just told me that, does the congregation here know it? Raise your hand if you know that song. Okay, I feel a little better. I was going to say, man, if you didn't even know the song, my point may not be taken so well today. But Nathan's going to lead the song for us later. He says he's never led it before, but I heard him sing it, and I think he did just fine. The song, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen, has powerful messages. To every single one of us, because we have something that we need from time to time, which I believe why this song is popular, at least with most of us, that most of us have known it for so long. And I think Mason's going to like it when he hears it. But, you know, sometimes we get down. Or someone beats up on us. But we want to know what to do. And we want to be just like Jesus. And this beautiful sounding song fulfills those desires and answers those needs. I'm going to refer to the verses in the song as stanzas, so that I won't get confused with verses from the Bible. Stanza 1, which was written by a man with the last name of Osborne, as you can see up in the top left-hand corner of the song if you're looking at it, around 1916. The first stanza says this: "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful passion and purity. May his spirit divine all my being refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." Jesus is beautiful, is he not? I mean, there's things that you think about him. There are things that have attracted you to him. Beautiful things. And now when we sing the song, we say, let those things be seen in me. What do you find beautiful in Jesus? I ask myself that question. The first thing that always pops into my mind when I think about what attracts me to Jesus is always the invitation that he extended in Matthew chapter 11. I don't know why that one sticks out for me. You probably have something else maybe that he said or did. But for me, what he says to us here just gets me every time. When I think about who he is and what I have been, and then how he talks to me here, I just think he is beautiful. "Come to me," Jesus said, "all who labor," starting in verse 28, "and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You labor and toil to accomplish some good thing, either in yourself or someone else. And you labor and toil to fight evil, perhaps in yourself or in somewhere else. Will you make it? Will you tire out before you get to the end? Or will just the burden of it just be too much? The load you carry is perhaps more than you can handle. Will you collapse under just the sheer weight of it? Well, what does he tell you to do in Matthew 11? Jesus said, "Come to me." He didn't say he takes everything away. He does say he has work and a burden, but it's a work and a burden that we can handle. We can deal with it. "Whatever troubles me," we continue to say in stanza one of the song, we sing, "let his beauty be seen in me." In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible reminds us that people are watching us. You know, whether it's in the church or in our families or in our neighborhoods, at work or in the store, people see us. Even as you see people and you observe things in them, they're observing things in you. Do they see the beauty of Jesus as the difficulties of life confront me and as I confront the difficulties of life? Paul says this in verses 2 and 3 of 2 Corinthians 3. "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men." Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, not written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is, of the heart. Yes, people should be reading their Bibles. But most people in the world don't. But they do have a living Bible that comes walking by them every day. What do they see? Or what do they read? Now, the beauty of which we sing there in that first stanza, the beauty of Jesus, is all His wonderful passion and purity. His love and holiness amaze us. He loves the vilest sinners, although He is purer than anyone we have ever met. How does He do that? How can He be 100% righteous passion and love and 100% purity? I don't understand that. Just for Himself. And then on the second hand, how can He then turn around and love me? How can He love any of us? Can I be like that? Can I have His passion and purity? Yes. And I think memorizing this song, at least for me, it helps me through the day to be like Him. Every once in a while, I'll just find myself singing it to myself, driving down the road or wherever. Therefore, may His Spirit divine all my being refine. The end of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 shows how to be that beautiful epistle known and read by all men. Listen to what he says in verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The written Word of God is a mirror. The more we look into it, the less we see our own image reflected back, and we start to see His image reflected back. You see, the Word of God reflects what we are. And you know, when I first come to it, you know, I see myself, because it's all about me. But the more I read it, and the more I embrace its principles and its teachings and its commands, the more I start to die to myself, so parts of me start leaving the mirror and images of Christ start coming up. And when that happens, then the beauty of Jesus will be seen in me, as the last line of stanza 1 says. Now let's move into stanza 2. When your burden is heavy and hard to bear, when your neighbors refuse all your load to share, when you're feeling so blue, don't know just what to do, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. Life is hard, isn't it? There are heavy burdens. There are uncooperative people. You get down and you get so blue. What do you do in those cases? When we're in those situations, we don't know what to do. Well, let what you have learned about Jesus shine through you. That's what we're singing in that second stanza. There is a passage in Ephesians chapter 4, and it's a lengthy passage, probably the last one I'll read for today. But I do want to read it because it shows what we used to be and what we should be. As I read through this, some of you are going to say, okay, yeah, I didn't used to be like that, and I'm not like that anymore. And yes, I have embraced some of these things. But as we continue to read it, you're going to say, okay, I see more things I need to take off, more that I need to put on, so that when I look into that mirror, I'll be sure that it's the beauty of Jesus and not the ugliness of Don Rule that's coming across. Starting in verse 17 of Ephesians 4, it is written, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Well, what have we learned from Him? What have we learned of Him? Okay, let's continue. Verse 21. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, or no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Would you not agree that all the good things that Paul wrote about there are the beautiful things we see in Jesus? Especially that last one. That last one always hits me. That I should forgive you even as Christ forgave me. And I praise God that He was beautiful enough in His Son to forgive me of my sin. And now in that second stanza of that song, we're saying we need to be like this. The third stanza. When somebody has been so unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through, think how he was beguiled, spat upon, and reviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. People speak unkind words to us that pierce us deeply. Why do people speak like that? Why are both saints and sinners sometimes so cruel with their biting words? What do they hope to accomplish? Is the beauty of Jesus shining through them? Well, really the song says we can't be too concerned about them, but we need to think about whether my light is shining through me. What should I do in return? Should I return evil for evil? This is when the beauty of Jesus shines ever brighter in us. We are impressed with Jesus, are we not? Not because he held up so well during the good and easy times, but because he held up so well during the hard and difficult times. In fact, he even let his beauty grow brighter. Likewise, that is when his beauty will be seen in us. So we go through hard times in life, and people treat us unfairly. And you know what? They'll have to give an account for it to God. But that's when we can really let the beauty of Jesus shine in us. The song says, remember how they treated Jesus. He was beguiled. His enemies took his life away from him by cheating and by deception. They spread falsehood and they did not give him a fair hearing. They had made up their minds about him before ever hearing from him. That's when Nicodemus spoke up and says, does our law condemn a man before it hears from him? See, that happens not only to Jesus, but it happens to us too. That sometimes people make judgments about us, or they condemn us, or they talk about us without ever having spoken to us. That's what the stanza 3 is talking about. But remember how they beguiled Jesus. They didn't want to be converted with the facts because they enjoyed being bitter against him. And so it will be that sometimes there will be people who enjoy being bitter against us or holding a grudge against us, and they don't want to hear anything that might make them change their opinion. They spat upon him. Now, you know something? That doesn't hurt physically, does it? But man, does that hurt the spirit. What an insult to spit in somebody's face. But he didn't spit back. And if he didn't spit back, can we spit back? Sometimes he was silent, sometimes he prayed for them. The song also says they reviled him, but he did not revile back. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 2 even makes the point that as we're going about doing good things, there will be people who will oppose us vigorously. And Peter doesn't say anything about where the opposition comes from. It can come from very likely sources or very unlikely sources. But what he does is he holds up the example of Christ and says, remember how he was treated, and then you imitate his example. Starting in verse 19, 1 Peter 2 says, for this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, in other words, you deserve it, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And again, I ask you, what Peter just said there about Jesus, is that not what you think is so beautiful about him? You've read the gospel accounts. You've seen how people treated him. And you marveled. And perhaps you even thought, I need to be like that. Maybe I don't want to right now, but I know I need to be. And so this song was written to encourage us to remember how he was, and that we need to be that same way. You see, you are not the first and only one to be mistreated. They had no justification for what they did to him. But what did he do in return? What action did he actually take? Well, on the cross he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let that beauty of Jesus be seen in me. The fourth and last stanza. From the dawn of the morning to the close of day, in example, in deeds, and in all you say, lay your gifts at his feet. Ever strive to keep sweet. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. Throughout the day, let these things be true. I mean, why should we stop letting the beauty of Jesus be seen in us? Has he ceased from showing his beauty to us? He never did during his ministry. And now that he's in heaven, he's acting as our intercessor. Because we need someone to intercede for us. He's still letting his beauty shine forth. So when I start the day until the day ends and everything in between, the beauty of Jesus should continue. If I do not let His beauty shine from the dawn of the morning to close of day, is it because I have found someone who's better? Have I found another way that I should let live in me that I think is now better than the way of Christ? Therefore, that second line of the last stanza says, you know, that we should be setting an example in deeds. We are Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus Christ, which means that we are learning how to live life from Him. Look at His arrest, trials, and crucifixion. I mean, you can look at a 24-hour period there of His life, and literally He was awake the whole time. He didn't sleep through the night because of all the trials. And you see Him going from one day to the next, and He's always the same. Always the same. He was doing the greatest work ever for people who hated Him, who slandered Him, who gossiped about Him, who formed a faction against Him. And yet, what does He do when He's arrested? He heals the ear of one of the men who came to arrest Him after one of His own disciples drew a sword and cut His ear off. Jesus rebukes His follower and heals the man's ear. The song also says, set an example in all you say. Jesus never used words that were questionable. He never used foul words. Let our enemies use those words. Speak as Jesus would speak, and then His beauty will shine in all that you say. Let each of us think about, where am I getting my speech? Where is my vocabulary? Am I saying things that Scripture would say? Am I saying what Jesus would say? Am I doing what Jesus would do? Lay your gifts at His feet, the song says. He is the focus. Now, here's the thing. He is the focus of our lives and not what people do to us. Do you see what this song is trying to do to us, to our thinking? Yes, people do bad things to us. Don't let that be your focus. If you do, you're going to become bitter and angry and full of wrath. No. Take all your gifts and lay them at His feet so that His beauty is now shining through you. Look at what He did for you. Not what people do to you, and then you'll start doing to others what He did to others. We lay our gifts at His feet, giving up everything that we have and everything that we are. Then the beauty of Jesus can be seen in us rather than our anger and bitterness toward others. Therefore, towards the end of that song, it says, strive with all your power to keep sweet. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul shows the sweet spirit that ought to fill our souls. And he reveals how we do this, and then the beauty of Jesus can be seen. And for me, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. If I ever think that, you know, I just want to read something from the Bible, I don't want to necessarily go through my regular scheduled Bible reading, Colossians 3, 12 through 14 is always the one that I come to. Because I think to myself, this is how Jesus is toward me. This is how I need to be toward others. And if everyone else was this way, what would the world be like? Listen to this. What would your family life be like? What would your church life be like? What would life be like in your neighborhood and everywhere else? If you let this part of the beauty of Jesus shine in you. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Look at every single characteristic that Paul listed there. Every one is a characteristic of Jesus Christ. Has he not had tender mercies toward you? Although he is the Lord of heaven and earth and the judge at the end, has he not been humble and meek, which means to be gentle? And how about the long-suffering one? The way for me to understand what that word means is to take the two words that are in there and reverse them. Suffering, long. Jesus suffers while we don't let his beauty shine. Jesus suffers while we have hard hearts and we insist on our own way. But he bears with us, going on into verse 13 there. He bears with us. He suffers a long time. Whatever it takes, whatever time perhaps is needed for us to get to that point, he's willing to do it, although it hurts him deeply. He wishes we would just do it just like that. But you know how we all are. We don't do that right away, do we? We fight it every step of the way. But look how he works with us. And then, you know, finally, love there. You know, if you can put on love, that's the bond of perfection. That's the thing that will bring all these other qualities together and glue them together, bond them together, and make you a perfect man or woman. Ephesians 4, which I read from earlier, also shows what the Spirit wants from us. And I think you will see that this whole passage is characteristic of the beauty of Jesus. Verses 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring, giving some effort, working at keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then one more that I'd like to give you. I'd like to end with Philippians chapter 2. And again, I think that the last stanza of the song really just embodies these passages from Colossians, Ephesians, and now Philippians 2. In the first four verses of Philippians 2, Paul says, here's the way you need to be. And then finally in verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you. This is how Jesus thought. Again, I ask you, when I read verses 1 through 4, do you not see the beauty of Jesus? Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Then Paul says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. You see, verses 1 through 4 is how Jesus thought. Right there in those first four verses, Paul opened up the mind of Christ and he said, here's what's inside. Love and comfort and consolation and joy and peace and unity and all those other things we've been looking at. Let that beauty of Jesus be seen in you. As I mentioned earlier, you know, we have to be getting rid of ourselves. So I have to die to myself because I fight his image. But if I die to myself, I can remove myself out of the way. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ is living in me, and that's what people see. And I will attract people to God even as Jesus did. Have you died to yourself? If not, and you're ready to do it, and you want to become a new creation this morning, come forward right now as we stand and sing, and we'll help you to fulfill that.